This is Jay Sekulow. There is new outrage out of Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Christian pastor Saeed Abedini is 1 month into his 8-year prison sentence in Iran for practicing his faith.
In the case of the jailed American pastor Saeed Abedini, now speaking out about the physical and mental torture that he is undergoing at a brutal Iranian prison in a letter that has just been released. Here's what he's saying about his own treatment there.
The conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry. My body does not have the strength to walk, and my steps become very weak and shaky. And after all of these pressures, after all of the nails they have pressed against my hands and feet, they are only waiting for one thing, for me to deny Christ. But they will never get this from me.
It has been 9 months since Saeed kissed the little foreheads of our children, and as he said his goodbye early in the morning of June 22, 2012. 9 months since Daddy sung to them and tucked them into bed, and 9 months since I embraced my husband as we said our goodbyes.
Nagme, you know, does any part of you say, you know, just give them what they want, if that will allow you to be released and to come home to our family?
Unfortunately, as you mentioned at the beginning, Christians are persecuted all over the world. They're one of the largest groups that are being persecuted and killed for their faith. And my husband, when I read that part that he's put under pressure but he will never deny Christ, I was very encouraged. That's his character.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast, and we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. With me in the studio today is Senior Attorney Skip Ash, who heads up a lot of our international law matters and operates generally out of our Virginia office. David French, Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, is also the Director of our Digital Media. And I am going to bring you folks some news coming out of Iran that is really troubling. And it's not just troubling about Saeed Abedini. This is but it relates directly to this. And you got to ask yourself what our administration is doing when Secretary of State Kerry calls the Iranian government the elected government. Remember that response when that was said by our now Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel? Everybody said, how can you elected government in Iran? Well, Senator Kerry's now said the same thing. But I want you to listen to this report. I'm going to read to you just a moment from Reuters. Now, this is not some, you know, right-wing news media organization. This is Reuters. Iran has stepped up execution of its prisoners, including juveniles, as well as arrests of dissidents who are often tortured in jails, sometimes tortured to death. And this is a report the United Nations has indicated. In twin reports issued in Geneva, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and the UN Special Investigator on Human Rights in Iran, Ahmed Saeed, voiced concern at what they called an apparent rise in the frequency and gravity of the abuse in Iran. The Secretary General, this is a quote, remains deeply troubled by reports of increasing number of executions, including juvenile offenders and in public, including, ready for this, folks? Now, I want you to hear this. Amputations, flogging, arrest, detention, unfair trials, torture and ill treatment, severe restrictions targeting media professionals, human rights defenders, lawyers, opposition activists, and this is another last one, as well as religious minorities. Now, this, folks, is coming out of the United Nations. You think your voice is making a difference? We got the UN recognizing what's going on in Iran. I want to hear from you. What do you think the action should be here? And what about our State Department's do-nothing attitude? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. When we come back from the break, Skip and David and I are going to talk about this situation. We want your calls. What do you think our government should be doing? And by the way, that description I just read to you really summarizes what Saeed Abedini is dealing with now every single day in that Iranian prison. Folks, let's get his release. We've got teams in Geneva. We're working on this. Your voice is already being heard. You saw that in the UN report. Let's get it heard even louder. If you haven't signed that petition for his release for Saeed Abedini, you go to ACLJ.org right now, ACLJ.org, or you pick up your phone and call 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. The UN Secretary General says religious minorities. That's Saeed Abedini. We'll be back in a moment.
The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Folks, it's significant that the UN Secretary General has acknowledged that religious minorities are increasingly being persecuted in Iran. That is exactly the situation for Saeed Abedini. And the fact of the matter is, your voice is already being heard because over 370,000, I'm going to ask Will to get me the exact number right now. Actually, I think I'm getting a report that we're at 383,756. Folks, we're approaching. I mean, it is conceivable very soon we could be at 500,000 signatures. Now, I don't know if we can get there before we've got two hearings in the UN coming up, folks, a March 5th one and a March 11th. Can we get there on the March 5th one to get to 500,000? That's going to be really tough. March 11th, maybe, or getting certainly well over 400,000. So, folks, I want to tell you something. We've got teams being deployed to Geneva now. We already got the attention of the UN Secretary General, who himself is saying Iran is a serial habitual abuser and it's getting worse. And we've got an American in jail, a Christian pastor. If you haven't signed on, and if you're not part of that 383,000 people, you go to aclj.org right now and sign that petition or pick up your phone. And let's stand up for this man who is in incredible persecution situation at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. 2255 or aclj.org. Now, we want to talk to you on air. I'm here with Skip and David. We want to take your phone calls. And I want to ask you this. If you could talk to the President of the United States, President Obama, or if you could talk to the UN Secretary General or the Secretary of State, what would you tell them about the situation with Iran? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. 3110. Let's go to Robert, who's calling in Maryland. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Jay?
Great.
Yeah, I was calling to say what I'd like to see the United States do is that where I'd like to see the American people in the ACLJ is target the petition to go directly to Secretary of State John Kerry, our
right.
Secretary of State, demanding he get more increasingly involved in calling for the release of Pastor Saeed Abedini. But in addition to that, also ask and send a petition to President Barack Hussein Obama that he would come out and directly make a statement calling upon the nation of Iran to free Pastor Saeed Abedini. And following up making that statement in a press conference, that he would work vigorously in a concentrated effort to make sure that happens. And one of the other things that he can do is he would call for sanctions against Iran that would cripple their ability to refine petroleum, because they have a major problem in Iran in refining their oil and their petroleum. If we were to
right.
level a sanction against Iran like that, that would be a crippling sanction that could really bring immense pressure on them.
All right, let me ask this first to David. Let's talk about the, because I think Robert brings up a good point, and that is the social media aspect. You head up, David's a senior counsel for the ACLJ, both in litigation, but also heads up our digital advocacy. Let's explain to everybody what we are doing right now, because we just had a meeting on this literally yesterday. Let's talk about what we're doing on the social media side.
Right, we have a social media campaign right now on behalf of Pastor Saeed that is really exploding right now. We are adding thousands and thousands of people to the petition just by being shared on Facebook. It's astonishing. I've never seen anything like this, where a petition to take action on behalf of an American held overseas is getting such traction. And we need help from listeners to share it on their own Facebook pages.
So, in other words, what we want to do, Robert, is have other people start sending it out. You got to get the thing to grow. We've got a certain amount of database. We are talking to our people. People like you that I know are supportive of the ACLJ, but now we need Robert. I don't know, Robert, do you have Facebook?
I don't. I do have email.
Okay, send it out. I mean, what we need to do is send it out. If your churches, groups you're involved in, what we're seeing right now is yesterday, for instance, we did not have a major push going on internally. In other words, we didn't send out an email drive on Saeed Abedini, yet we added probably, how many names, David?
More than 10,000.
So, Robert, whatever sources you have, I mean, that would be really helpful, really, really helpful to get that information out. So I encourage you to do that. Let me throw this to Skip, though, because Robert brings up another question, and that is Iran and sanctions. You're an expert in the Middle East. You're over there a lot. We've got an office in Jerusalem. The sanctions, could they have that kind of crippling impact if they were really imposed?
I think they already are having that impact with respect to the people of Iran, and I think that's why the Iranian government is going after these people, are jailing them and everything else, because the people are feeling the heat. They realize it's a part of the government is creating the situation that has led to these conditions, and therefore I think the government is becoming increasingly threatened, or feel they are increasingly threatened, and therefore they're taking action against their own people, and it's becoming increasingly irrational in what they're doing, which makes it even more dangerous because of the weaponry they're pursuing.
And that's not just for Saeed Abedini. We're talking about this is dangerous for the region and for the West as well.
Absolutely, and they have ties with North Korea, which is another outlaw regime, and they're cooperating on nuclear matters, and that's very dangerous.
It's interesting. A foreign policy expert with the Heritage Foundation, Steve Boosey, made this statement. Listen to number 10. This is what he said about the regime and it's the way the United States is responding.
This administration is overly sensitive to not offending anyone or any government that is based on Islam. That's just a fact. And in this case, having a Christian go into Iran to be persecuted the way he is, to be imprisoned unduly, that's not what they want to focus on. So, no, I think they are less than excited about trying to negotiate to get a Christian pastor out of a Muslim country.
Yeah. So that's talking about our administration, folks. I mean, I'm going to play this again in a few minutes, but that's our administration. These are an expert saying they are less excited about trying to negotiate to get a Christian pastor out of a Muslim country. Why? Because they don't want to. Our administrations do not want to offend Muslim countries. How do you react to that? Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. That is a sobering statement. And David, let me run this one to you. In looking at the situation that we've got right now, if you look at the Middle East, if you look at Israel, if you look at what's happening to this pastor, if you look at the report that I read in the beginning where the UN Secretary General said increased persecution of religious minorities, that's Christians, this is a really serious situation right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that comment is exactly right. The administration is scared of its own shadow when it comes to offending people. But the reality is you don't get anything done in the Middle East without showing strength. And weakness, like the weakness of feeling that you're going to hurt someone's feelings, and that's dictating national policy, gets exploited relentlessly. We have to show strength.
Let me tell you what this pastor is going through every day. Unbelievable torture, psychological, mental, and physical. Marina Namat was, Jordan interviewed her yesterday. She spent time in this prison. I want to play number one. This is what she said she's going through.
They lashed the soles of my feet with a length of cable, It is the favorite method of torture in the Middle East. I have spoken, you know, I was in Evin prison with hundreds of other people, and I have spoken with many Evin inmates later, and it's very rare, extremely rare, that somebody goes to Evin and is not beaten up like that. So they beat you and beat you and beat you, and it's very difficult to describe that pain. Basically, I call it distilled pain. It's a place in which you're reduced to something you don't even understand what it is. You forget your name. You forget who you are. You forget how to count. They just scream at you.
There you have it. These from a woman that was inside that prison. So I want to ask you that to do something right now, and that is to take direct action. We've got this pastor. We're at 383,000, almost probably 384,000 signatures. I want to be, by the end of this weekend, over 400. I want to break the 400,000 barrier, and I want to be well on our way to 500,000. I'd love to be at 500,000 by our two hearings in March. But, folks, that's where you come in. If you haven't signed this petition for Saeed Abedini, then you go to ACLJ.org right now, ACLJ.org, or pick up the phone and call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Now is the time for action. We've got the attention of the UN. You see that in this report. It's very significant coming out of the UN with Ban Ki-moon, Skip, making that kind of statement, Secretary General, and putting that religious minority. It sets us up very well for March 5th and March 11th.
It certainly does, because the UN traditionally has been very anti-U.S. and anything that has to do with the United States, at least in the recent decades. And for the Secretary General of the United Nations to recognize an issue like this and to speak out boldly like this, especially when you have Iran, which is a state that is constantly in trouble, which is constantly lying in their reports to the UN, is putting on in the spot the fact that the Iranians are lying to the international community. And now you have the chief executive, so to speak, of the most influential international organization confirming that.
David, how significant do you think it is that at least we've got the mention in there, in that report, that he's talking about religious persecution in Iran specifically?
It's very significant. I mean, even totalitarian regimes don't like to be embarrassed. And that what this does, it embarrasses Iran. It makes it more trouble than it's worth to Iran to continue this kind of persecution.
All right, folks, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. But here's what I need you to do. I need everybody that's listening to this broadcast, if you have not signed this petition, you go to ACLJ.org right now and you sign it, ACLJ.org, or you call at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. Now is the time to take action. We've got the attention of the UN. Now I need your help. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. I'm in the studios here in our media center with Skip Ash and David French, senior counsels for the ACLJ, and we're taking your phone calls. Let's go to Ron. He's on line five. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Yes, sir.
I am just appalled at what our administration is doing. I thought he swore on the Bible when he was re-sworn in again. He's for the people. His actions are showing that he's for Islam and not for the people if he's not going to take action.
Well, I played for you. I'm going to play it again. Let's play number 10. This is from Stephen Boosie. He is a foreign policy expert with the Heritage Foundation, talking about why the government, our administration, wasn't taking more direct action. Here's what he said.
This administration is overly sensitive to not offending anyone or any government that is based on Islam. That's just a fact. And in this case, having a Christian go into Iran to be persecuted the way he is, to be imprisoned unduly, that's not what they want to focus on. So, no, I think they are less than excited about trying to negotiate to get a Christian pastor out of a Muslim country.
Let me get a quick response from David and then skip on that. I mean, I think that is problematic, that it's this kind of worldview that the president has forecast on the Middle East being implemented.
Oh, it's,
and this is not convenient.
It's spot on. I mean, let's go all the way back to 2009 when he was first elected. He came in believing that just because he was who he was and he was not George Bush, that all of a sudden the Middle East problems were going to be solved, things would be better, and he's been aiming for that ever since, just based on his alleged greater sensitivity. He doesn't understand the Middle East at all. The Middle East is based on strength. It is not based on weakness. And you have to show strength to get anything done.
Skip.
David's exactly right. But even more concerning to me is the fact that this pastor is a United States citizen. He has an obligation to defend a United States citizen. This is not some third world national. This is a citizen of the United States of America, and he cannot and should not, and the State Department should not, just leave this person there without coming out publicly to defend him.
And that's why we're taking such direct action. By the way, Will just told me we are at 383,901 signatures, which means we're 99 away from going over 384,000 signatures, folks. Let me get to 384 by the end of this broadcast. Go to aclj.org, sign that petition now, aclj.org, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Just a 99 away from breaking 385,000. Sherry's from California. She's on line four. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Jay. Ahmadinejad and these other dictators are bullies. You know, these people are just like high school bullies. And America has not a bully. We have a history of standing up to bullies ever since the Revolutionary War and helping other people who are being bullied. And this, you know, to not offend the bully is not going to stop them.
Well, you're exactly correct. And I think I like the word picture you painted as well, that we're dealing with bullies. But this is bullies that may end up with a nuclear weapon. So that makes this bully a hyper-bully. I mean, this is beyond bullying. I mean, this is but I understand the analysis. You're correct. And we're not showing strength by thinking we're going to woo the Islamic world here, the Muslim world. We're not. I think the reality is they're showing to the contrary, that the more we try to woo them, that's the weaker that we actually are. Skip's sitting there shaking his head. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. I just, you know, if you've ever been over there, if you've ever dealt with this culture, they respond to strength and they react, they overreact to weakness, and they take advantage of it every chance they get. As we look weak, we are going to be the target of more and more violence.
You know, it's even worse. They have contempt for weakness. Contempt. It's not that they like you and take advantage of you. They have contempt for you. When you show strength, there's respect. There's this great book about the triumph of the surge in Iraq, and it was based on the title of the book is based on this statement by a sheikh who said, "We discovered you Marines were the strongest tribe, and so we were going to back you." We have to be the strongest tribe in the Middle East to get anything done. Instead, we're acting like the weakest.
All right, folks, we're again taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Victor's calling from Colorado on line one. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Jay. I wanted to give an observation. I believe with all my heart that what's happening to Pastor Abedini is a wake-up call to the church, and that includes pastors and believers. Because in the Word, the Lord says, you know, numerous times, you're going to be hated, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be drugged into court, you're going to be put into prison, you're going to face death because of my namesake. Now, what Iran wants more than anything, and we can be absolutely sure of this, they want Pastor Abedini to renounce the name of Christ.
Well, no, they have said that. In fact, I think we have a soundbite on that from Nagme. I mean, this is a big part of the approach of the Iranian regime. Do we have that one? Let's go ahead and we have it. Let's go ahead and play it.
Nagme, you know, does any part of you say, you know, just give them what they want, if that will allow you to be released and to come home to our family?
Unfortunately, as you mentioned at the beginning, Christians are persecuted all over the world. They're one of the largest groups that are being persecuted and killed for their faith. And my husband, when I read that part that he's put under pressure, but he will never deny Christ, I was very encouraged. That's his character.
So there you have it. You're exactly correct, Victor. That's exactly what's going on. And this pastor is standing strong. And again, folks, he's in a prison, and they're telling him, if you deny Jesus, you're out. We'll let you out. He's being tortured every day. We're now trying. He is not going to recant his faith. The least we can do is get to the UN, get to the international bodies, and work to get his release. Go to ACLJ.org right now or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And we're taking your phone calls. Let's go to Stephen calling out of New York. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Yes, sir.
Hello?
You're on the air, Stephen.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I just wanted to say, first of all, my attitude toward the government and the present administration. I'm totally, it's loathsome. It makes you ashamed to be an American. It must be humiliating to see our reactions and even within our own country, the mass attack against Christianity. But one thing I have to say with the petitions, and some of them really do a great job and do help. But I'll tell you why. I have one question.
Sure.
Does anybody really think that the civil rights movement would have been successful with just petitions? What we need to have is masses of people. Believe me, if the...
But it's not just, you got to understand something. It's not just petitions. Petitions are one element. That's the element you see. The element you see is, you know, 300, when we add the names, right now the website's showing about 376,000, but it's when we've got the names that we're inbounding, adding right now, it's going to push it up to 383. It's not just the petition, Stephen. The petitions are symbolic of, imagine, 383,000 people at a venue. The famous I Have a Dream speech was 250,000 in Washington, D.C., where there's 110,000, 130,000 more people have signed this petition than were in Washington. We can't physically take people to the United Nations en masse, but we can take them through this petition process, and that has a huge impact. Folks, we're out of time this segment. SiriusXM listeners, you're getting the full hour of the broadcast. If not, just go right now to ACLJ.org, and you can get the rest of the broadcast. We'll be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Now listen, folks, as we close this segment out, go to ACLJ.org. Get me to 384,000. Standing with us. Standing with this pastor. Standing for freedom. We've got the attention of the UN now. I read that in the beginning of the broadcast. Now it's time to take action. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Freedom. I'm talking about freedom.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We got word from Reuters, actually, and it's in fact we've now verified that a UN report has been issued, twin reports issued in Geneva. We've got people in Geneva, have had people in Geneva, from the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, which is huge, and the UN Special Investigator on Human Rights in Iran, Ahmed Shaheed. They voiced concern with what they called an apparent rise in the frequency and gravity of abuses in Iran. And in their report, the Secretary General remains deeply troubled by reports of increasing number of executions, floggings, arrests, detentions, death, torture, ill-treatment. In addition to human rights defenders, lawyers, and opposition activists, they noted religious minorities. That's important, folks, because it's exactly what Saeed Abedini is, and we've got their attention now. So that's why we're asking you to help, and so many of you are, which we're very appreciative. We're going right to the phones. Michael's calling in Texas. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, listen, man, I just want to tell you God bless you, and you're doing very well with the stage that God has given you. Keep it up, man. So my question for you today is, you know, the White House has certainly tried to make it apparent that how nice and easygoing this Muslim faith is, you know, and then now we see what they're doing to Saeed over there. My question is, what is the Muslim church going to do about it here? I mean, they...
Yeah. You know, David, you listen to this. This will be very helpful, Michael, because there's not much coming out of that on that point, obviously. You served in Iraq.
Yes.
You know the situation. What's your sense of the Muslim, the quote, modern element of the Muslim leadership saying anything or really doing nothing?
Well, I'll tell you what. Number one, a lot of so-called moderate Muslims are terribly intimidated by the jihadists. I mean, especially in the Middle East, if they speak out, it's their life. So if you're asking someone to speak out, and if they speak out, they die, they're more than likely going to be quiet. The other thing is, you know, we keep going back to this point about strength, strength, strength. Well, when the jihadists, when the radicals seem to be humiliating the U.S. by holding one of our own citizens hostage with no effective response, it only diminishes, I mean, it only increases their strength and diminishes the moderates.
There are some Muslims that have spoken out. We've had some on this broadcast. Jason's calling from on line one. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You know, I was talking specifically, I wanted to talk about the petition you're proposing, and I understand that you agree that that's just one of the tools and
yes.
arsenal of things that you can do, but do you also think that maybe one of the other tools is being less inflammatory and less pronounced about the religious issue, and maybe looking at it more like a negotiation or a compromise that has to be reached to get them out there? Like,
well, what would the compromise be, Jason?
I'm not sure what it would be. But
I mean, he's not going to deny Christ.
Okay, so that's like a constraint. But what is the objective? Is the objective to get them to stop torturing him?
Well, no, the objective is to get him out of jail. He shouldn't. He's arrested because of his faith. The solution is through going to the United Nations, which will put significant pressure on that regime. And, Skip, when you put pressures on these regimes, they tend to react. If you don't keep it in the news, though, Jason, let me tell you this. If you don't keep it in the news, let's find that soundbite because this will be helpful for you, Jason. If you don't keep the plight of this pastor in the news, he is dead. That's what happens. Skip, go ahead. We're going to find that soundbite.
And you're exactly right, Jay. What happens in the Islamic world very often is, unless there is some type of outward pressure to point to these types of activities that they're engaging in, which their own Quran says they should not be engaging in, they will not act. So you have to keep the pressure on.
Let me play soundbite number four here.
I always say at conferences that silence is a weapon of mass destruction. Basically, when you're silent in face of injustice and horrible crimes against humanity, in this case, mass torture, mass arrests, mass executions, you know, you name it, when you remain silent, when you know about it and you remain silent, you're a bystander. And to be a bystander in a situation like that is unforgivable. One needs to stand up and to speak out against atrocities like these.
And that's what we're asking people to do. So, Jason, you got to speak out. We got to continue to do that. You can't. He's not going to surrender his faith. And let me tell you something. If he did, they wouldn't release him. That's the real truth. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. To sign on to that petition, we've got a lot more ahead. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
Thank you.
The situation for American pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Broadcast, folks. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have been talking a lot about Pastor Saeed Abedini. We represent the family here in the United States at the American Center for Law and Justice. Our European Center for Law and Justice is at the UN Human Rights Council as we speak now, preparing for the session there, March 5th and March 11th, two dates to mark on your calendar. As part of telling Saeed Abedini's story, what it's like for him. He's been in prison since September, was put under house arrest in July. We've also wanted to bring you the stories of those who have been in the similar or same situation as Pastor Saeed, one of those individuals. We've played some of her interviews and speeches on the radio broadcast already before. I talked about her books. Marina Namat, who was born in Tehran in 1965, spent 2 years in Evin prison, was on Fox News talking about her story and her situation and what happened. And we knew we wanted to have her on. She's written two books, the latest, which is After Tehran, A Life Reclaimed. Another one, Prisoner of Tehran, a memoir, which I've read. And it's great to have Marina Namat on with us now. Marina, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Jordan.
First question for you, for people who may not be as familiar with your story, though I know because of what's happened with Saeed and your appearances on some of the media here in the U.S., that the people have been following it. Tell people why at age 16 you were arrested in Iran.
When I was arrested, this was basically about a year after the hostage taking of the Americans in Iran. And many people don't know at all that just months after the hostage taking, thousands of young Iranians, the majority of them teenagers, so 90%, 90, under the age of 20, between the ages of 14 and 20, were arrested. Why? Because we had demonstrated against the Islamic Republic. Because when the Islamic Republic came into power in 1979, before the revolution, it had promised us freedom, justice, democracy, that sort of thing. Khomeini had made all those false promises, and very soon after the revolution, we quickly discovered that all of those had been lies. Dancing became illegal, singing became illegal, having fun became illegal. So when you're 14 years old and having fun becomes illegal, you react to it. So we reacted, and we were on the streets of Tehran protesting in various ways, but unfortunately, all foreign media by then had been expelled from Iran. Nobody had iPhones back there, and there was no Facebook. So these protests were not reported, and so the Iranian government began to arrest young people as early as spring of 1981. I was arrested in 1982, and I was just one of those kids who had been very outspoken.
We're talking to Marina Namat again, folks, who spent 2 years, and let's talk about that. It's in Evin prison, same prison Saeed Abedini's in. And Marina, for people out there, this is the prison for those who have been deemed security, national security threats, or enemies of the Islamic Republic.
That's correct.
And you spent 2 years there. When you were arrested, what happened? Was there a case? Was there a trial? Was there, you know, did it start that way? Was there at any point you thought, okay, maybe, you know, I'm going to get out of here? Did the abuse begin immediately? I mean, how long did that take to start? Just so people understand, because we start thinking about prison, we can think about it in our own mind, in our own, you know, U.S. or Western experience, and this is not the same thing.
No, not at all. You must completely exit your frame of mind that has with the justice system in democratic free countries around the world. In Iran, it's entirely different. And these were the early days after the revolution when I was in prison. So everything was extremely chaotic. Now it's not any better, but it has become much more systematic. Back then, everything was completely arbitrary. So they would just come and arrest people and take them. There was really no case. Basically, somebody could have told on you in school. A neighbor could have told on you. A shopkeeper could have told on you. Anybody could have told on you. And they would come and collect you at home. So they would take you upon arrival at Evin prison. And it is still exactly the same 30 years later. I have spoken with people who have been in Evin recently. And they blindfold you upon arrival. They blindfolded me upon arrival. And I was taken in. I was made to sit down on the floor in a hallway, which is what happens today as well. They make you wait for a long time. In my case, there were just so many people sitting in the hallway waiting that you had to wait for a long time for interrogation. And it's also an intimidation technique. Like, even if there aren't so many people ahead of you, they still make you wait to make you nervous. And then they took me for interrogation. I couldn't see the man who was speaking to me because I was blindfolded. He asked me basic questions, basic personal information, and then he asked me if I had attended protest rallies. And I said yes, because back then attending protest rallies was something everybody did. All of my friends attended protest rallies. He asked me if I had written anything against the government, and yes, I had. I had written articles in my school newspaper. So then they began questioning me in more detail, and they didn't like the answers that I gave them. So they took me to another room, and they took off my blindfold. I was in a small room with two men, Ali and Hamid, and they handcuffed me, and they realized that the handcuffs, they were not adjustable. They were made for adults. I was 16, a tiny girl. And they saw that, and they laughed, and they put both of my wrists together, and they put the two wrists in one cuff, and as it clicked, I heard my right wrist crack, and the torture had not even begun. I started screaming my head off. I just wanted to go home to my mom. I just wanted to go sleep in my own bed. I couldn't understand why these people were doing this to me. And they tied me to the bare wooden bed. I was lying down on my stomach, and they lashed the soles of my feet with a length of cable. It is the favorite method of torture in the Middle East. I have spoken, you know, I was in Evin prison with hundreds of other people, and I have spoken with many Evin inmates later. And it's very rare, extremely rare, that somebody goes to Evin and is not beaten up like that. So they beat you and beat you and beat you, and it's very difficult to describe that pain. Basically, I call it distilled pain. It's a place in which you're reduced to something you don't even understand what it is. You forget your name. You forget who you are. You forget how to count. They just scream at you. And then they give you documents, and they tell you to sign it. And you're so distraught. You're so messed up. And you don't even read them. You just sign them. And there is no lawyer, there is no jury, there was no trial, at least for the first few months. And then, well, they told me I had had a trial, but then they also told me I wasn't there when it took place. So, and they told me I had a death sentence. And it was just so strange. But when you are in that place, you realize that this is really happening, this is reality, and it kind of just sucks you in.
Folks, you got to get the book. I mean, The Prisoner of Tehran, a memoir, and then After Tehran, a Life Reclaimed, Marina Namai. You can get these books at Amazon.com, through her website as well, at marinanamat.com. To speak out, you've talked a lot about this, that speaking out is very important for people to do, for whether it's Saeed Abedini or the thousands who are in this situation who may not be a well-known name. It may not be because of religious reasons, but it could be like in your situation where you were raised Christian. So was it that you had gone through that? Though we know about people who have been in that the second situation you talked about where you're almost forced to convert, and then when you want to return back to your original faith, you're now an apostate in these kind mm-hmm. of situations. But speaking out, how important is it? Because, you know, we hear from this regime, oh, every time you speak out, you're causing trouble, and this is not going to do any good. But it seems like everybody who's been in this situation has had the opposite opinion.
It is hugely important to speak. I always say at conferences that silence is a weapon of mass destruction. Basically, when you're silent in face of injustice and horrible crimes against humanity, in this case, mass torture, mass arrests, mass executions, you know, you name it, when you remain silent, when you know about it and you remain silent, you're a bystander. And to be a bystander in a situation like that is unforgivable. One needs to stand up and to speak out against atrocities like these, or basically you're warranting them and you're allowing them to just continue happening. And, you know, something else that I guess, you know, the media, like, you know, you are a part of the media, and I'm grateful for this opportunity you have given me. But, you know, big U.S. media, I mean, we see Iranian officials, Ahmadinejad and the others. I mean, there are so many Ahmadinejads in Iran. They are given the mic all over the world, not only in the United States, but in the West, in free countries, in the U.N., they are giving the microphone. And I'm fine with that. I believe that if I'm allowed to speak, then my enemies should be allowed to speak as well. But I believe that, for example, if, I don't know, on the CNN, we see Ahmadinejad go on and tell lies to the world for an hour, then I believe that a torture victim from Iran should be given the same opportunity, the same microphone on the same international stage. I mean, we need to be able to face our torturers, and we have never been given that opportunity in 33 years. I mean, if I speak at the UN and I bear witness to what happened to me, if the Iranian officials, they don't like it, they can leave the room. But guess what? When I was being tortured, I didn't have the option to leave the room.
Marina Namat, folks, another reason why it's so important to speak out when we have these media opportunities like we do through our radio broadcasts, or Fox News, who has been covering Pastor Saeed's situation, Saeed Abedini, who's in the same prison that Marina spent two years, 16 years old. You've got to read her book, Prisoner of Tehran, a memoir, and the newest book as well, After Tehran, A Life Reclaimed. Marina, I know we're going to want to turn to you again. I wanted to let this time that you were on the first time with us to be able to tell your story, and thank you so much for spending time with us today to do just that.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate your time.
So that interview makes it as clear as can be why all of us, we need to engage this fight. If you want to sign on, if you want to stand with Pastor Saeed for his freedom, call now, 877-989-2255. You can also sign on at SaveSaeed.org.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. A huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The situation for American Pastor Saeed Abedini is getting worse. This U.S. citizen is being beaten, tortured, and subjected to psychological abuse as he serves 8 years in one of Iran's most brutal and deadly prisons. Pastor Saeed is facing a life-threatening prison sentence simply because of his Christian faith. He's no longer permitted to call his wife and two young children who live in the U.S. His family does not know when or even if they will ever hear his voice again. The ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, listen, in this segment of the broadcast, we want to do something for you we've been meaning to do for some time now. We want you to hear the two letters that we've received from Pastor Saeed and then also his wife, Nagme. We're going to play for you first the letter that Saeed sent from Evin prison there in Tehran. I want you folks, you got to listen to this letter. He makes an admonition to all of us, to the church at large. He encourages us to stay strong in our faith as we advocate for him. But what I like the most about this, it reads like Ephesians. This is Pastor Saeed's challenge to all of us to carry out our daily walks with our Lord and Savior. Pastor Saeed, in the midst of torture from Evin prison, encouraging all of us. We're going to go ahead and play this now. This is Pastor Saeed's letter from Evin prison.
February 18th, 2013, writing from my heart. My dear friends, the conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry, my body does not have the strength to walk, and my steps become very weak and shaky. Various bullying groups, the psychological warfare, almost a year of not seeing my family, physical violence, actions committed to humiliate me, insults, being mocked, being confronted with extremists in the prison who create another prison within the prison walls, and the death threats. It is interesting that because I am a Christian pastor, I am carefully watched. I am expected to smile at them despite what is being done and to understand why they are doing all of these things. But, of course, I can clearly see what is going on, and because I want to serve God, I see all of these difficulties as golden opportunities and great doors to serve. There are empty containers who are thirsty for a taste of the living water, and we can quench their thirst by giving them Jesus Christ. Maybe you are also in such a situation, so pray and seek God that He would use you and direct you in the pressures and difficulties of your lives. There are those who are enemies of the living Bible and do not want to hear. They are trying to put me under such horrific pressures that are sometimes unbearable, so that they can show me that my faith is empty and not real. And after all of these pressures, after all of the nails they have pressed against my hands and feet, they are only waiting for one thing, for me to deny Christ. But they will never get this from me. This is why the Bible is truth and they are in the way of destruction. There is another group who does not know the gospel of truth. Instead of truly listening and meditating on God's word, they are just waiting to see how I react to all of their pressures and persecution. What will come out of me during these intense times? But again, this is another golden opportunity for me to shine the light of Christ in this dark world and to let God use me. Yesterday when I was singing worship songs, the head of my cell room attacked me in order to stop me from praising, but in response I hugged him and showed him love. He was shocked. It is during these harsh conditions that I deeply need God's saving grace so that I can be the fragrant scent of Christ in the dark house of Evin prison. I have often seen the shining morning star in the darkness of this prison, and I have seen his amazing and supernatural works. Oh, how beautiful is seeing the light of the shining morning star of Christ in such evil darkness. So, see your golden opportunities and pressures and difficulties. See the shining morning star in the dark times of your life. I love him. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous to me. I now know that I have not been forgotten and that we are together in this path. God gives me grace. This is my message for the church. Stay strong for his glory. He will come back soon. Be with God and give your best efforts for his kingdom. Pastor Saeed, servant of Jesus Christ in chains for endurance of the gospel. I love you all.
Again, folks, that was Pastor Saeed writing from Evin prison in Tehran. You talk about a powerful testimony encouraging all of us in our faith. Now what I want to do, I want to play for you some audio of a piece that Nagme, Pastor Saeed's wife, that she wrote talking about Pastor Saeed's time in prison, how it's been hard on her family, and also encouraging us in our faith as well. So this is Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagme, in her own words.
It has been 9 months since Saeed kissed the little foreheads of our children, and as he said his goodbye early in the morning of June 22, 2012, 9 months since Daddy sung to them and tucked them into bed, and 9 months since I embraced my husband as we said our goodbyes, thinking at that time we would be separated only a few weeks as he returned to Iran to continue work on building an orphanage.
Maybe if I knew what was to unfold, I would have held him a little longer, talked a little longer. It has been 5 months since the frantic phone call that woke me up in the middle of the night, telling me of the horrific way my husband was taken. 5 Revolutionary Guards raiding the house and taking him, not knowing where he was or what had happened to him. 5 long months. Maybe that is why still to this day I suddenly wake up frantic in the middle of the night. I turn over, only to find Saeed's empty spot. Only to find that the nightmare is not over yet. Only to discover that this nightmare will not be over anytime soon. It has been 1 month to the day since Saeed was given his 8-year sentence because of his Christian faith. I know deep in my heart that unless we speak out and fight for him, Saeed might not survive the 8-year in that horrific prison, especially because he continues to face continued abuse and death threats. This nightmare exists because Saeed refuses to deny Christ. He is standing up for what he believes. Are we going to stand up with him? Are we going to be a voice for him when the Iranian government is doing all it can to silence him? How many more nights am I to hold my weeping children as they ask me to tell them stories of how Daddy used to hold them when they were born, how he used to play with them, kiss them, and hold them each night before he tucked them into bed? How many more times must I hold back my tears as I sing the worship songs he used to sing to them, as they beg me to sing like Daddy did, because they're trying desperately to hold on to the memories of their daddy? Over the last month, I've pondered over and over how I will ever explain to my children that Daddy has been given 8 years in a horrific prison, and we don't even know if he will survive. 1 month, 31 days, 744 hours, 44,640 minutes, 2,678,400 seconds. During this nightmare, I lean on the promise in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Ultimately, God is in control, and he controls governments and situations for his glory. There's nothing Saeed and I desire more than to die to ourselves and allow Christ to shine through to this dying world, that he would be glorified in all of this, and many would come to know the saving grace of Jesus. Our trust is in the Lord. He's carrying us through this nightmare and drawing us closer to him. But I also believe that the Lord is using our prayers and political, social media, and other efforts to bring us closer as the body of Christ. He promises to turn all this for his glory. This nightmare and the plea for my husband's life should cross religious and political barriers. It should grip all human beings at our heart's core, motivating us to do what is right, to stand up for someone whose human rights are being violated. While Saeed doesn't have a voice to sing to his children, we have a voice for his freedom. We can make a difference.
Again, folks, that was Nagmeh, Pastor Saeed's wife, a letter that she wrote talking about Pastor Saeed's time in prison. Earlier in the segment, you heard the letter from Pastor Saeed. You can find the audio and the text of both of those letters online at aclj.org. I encourage you to go on, take a listen to those, read those letters, pass them around to friends. We need you to stand with us. Just like Nagmeh said, you need to be Saeed's voice from inside prison. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. But 877-989-2255. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
ACLJ continues to work here at home and around the world to secure his freedom. We continue to pressure the U.S. government, the United Nations, and the European Union. But we need to hear from you. There's power in numbers, and that's why your voice is so important. Sign on to our petition now to save Pastor Saeed. Time is critical. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.